What's going on, everybody? My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got the last half hour of the show, so if you want to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in, now is your chance. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We got a very special guest with me hanging out for an extra segment. I always appreciate it when he gives me a little bit more time. We're all better off and smarter for it. His name is Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor of this great state. We were talking about, and I want to be sure I plug this wonderful conversation that you had with your good friend Katya, who is fired by anonymized email in the Doge slaughter that continues to occur, fired from her job, her life's goal to be a public servant, serving in the Indian Services Bureau, which is under the Department of Health and Human Services. Obviously, Native Americans and First Nation people here in the state of Wisconsin, such an important public service, fired through an email. You can find that interview between Mr. Mandela Barnes and Katya on in the entirety, uncut, by going to political editor Dan Schaefer's The Recombobulation Area. You can find the story. It's called The Pawn in a Billionaire's Game. Check it out. You can see Dan's commentary as well as the full interview between Mandela and Katya. Thanks for sticking around, Mandela. We've got a couple of folks on the phone. I'm going to go right there if you're cool with that. If you've got a question or comment, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jack from Merrimack, thank you for your patience, sir. You're up next.
Well, first of all, I want to say I've met Mr. Barnes at an event when he was running for the Senate, and it's an absolute travesty that we have a corrupt, useless shill like Ron Johnson who was reelected. But that's not where I had really intended to go with it. Second thing, I've got two questions, really. Question one, the bunch of people that have been fired, there are civil service laws that govern their employment. There are individual contracts, or at least a blanket contract. Isn't that illegal to fire those people? And secondly, on that same track, isn't it illegal to withhold some of those funds like they're doing for the repairs in Milwaukee? Because those were allocated by previous
Congress
budgets. The other thing I wanted to ask is this. If those are indeed illegal, even though Trump has royal immunity, can't the shills that like Musk and his slightly post-adolescent lackeys, can't they be prosecuted for those crimes?
Lots of great questions there, Jack. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, I'll give you first crack and then I'll weigh in.
Oh, a whole lot of good questions. And I just want to bring it back to my point that we aren't dealing with norms. Like, it goes back to that conversation about decorum. They are breaking the law in real time. But the fact is, Donald Trump has already broken the law, been convicted, and truly has faced zero consequence. So what's going to stop him from abusing the normal rules that we go by when governing an entire country if he has shown how much he can already get away with? I mean, the thing is, you look at even Rodrigo Duterte, you look at a couple other leaders, world leaders who've been jailed because of their misdeeds. This man not only committed misdeeds and got convicted of them, he got back into the highest office of power. And so we are, of course, going to have to employ a legal strategy. When people say, well, what can we do? Well, it's not a one thing we can do. It's multiple things that have to happen all at once. There has to be a legal strategy. There has to be public pressure that continues to mount. Organizations like Indivisible, who are showing up in congressional districts across the country, holding members of Congress accountable. And if people aren't holding those town hall meetings as directed by Speaker Mike Johnson, nothing's stopping you from showing up to the office. Nothing's stopping you from flooding their inboxes with letters, emails, calls. they have to know that what they're doing is not just not only not popular, but it's not right, and the people will not stand for it. But it does take us, actually, having the desire to meet this moment. I know a lot of people are very tired. A lot of people exhausted. Are very weary from the last election cycle that felt like it took every single thing out of us, and we don't have much energy left to keep going. But I can tell you, for the folks who are facing, legal termination from their jobs, and those jobs that are keeping all of us safe, that are keeping us protected, and also giving us an opportunity to explore this country and to participate in different recreational activities, like folks at the Park Service. Like, if all these things matter, not just to you, but to other folks, to future generations, like, we do have to dig deep as if it were another presidential election cycle and give it everything we got and stand up to this madness.
A couple of technical answers. One, here's the trick. If you move from one federal position to another, specifically into another federal level executive branch agency, you're often treated as a probationary employee and therefore do not have any legal right to your job and can be terminated legally, even under civil service rules. There are a ton of people that they have gone after under this sort of loophole, that I'll say. Secondly, if you are a civil servant and you do have those protections, yes, many of these firings are going to be legally challenged. When it comes to federal grants and federal contracts, especially where work has already been completed or funds expended in reliance upon the issuance and granting, if you will, of the grant, yes, there is going to be litigation. My argument, hearing the breaking news today from Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee, that the Trump administration is clawing back well over $110 million, primarily going to First Nation communities and Black and Brown communities across the state of Wisconsin by killing DOT grants, I say affirmative lawsuit, assert actual racial discrimination and racial animus. Let them keep talking about DEI as bad. I'm going to turn that into a lawsuit, but that's just this aggressive lawyer. I hope some of our public lawyers are down for that as well. We've got Dale from Wausau. Say hello to the Lieutenant Governor. What's your question or comment, Dale?
Yeah, Megan, what I wanted to say is on tariffs, I think the ultimate objective of tariffs is to alienate as many of our native allies as possible, to leave us by ourselves, weakened and vulnerable to authoritarian impulses in our own government and authoritarian governments in the world, disguised as retribution and protecting ourselves from supposed unfairness from our NATO ally countries. I think we will see tariffs imposed on additional NATO allies. I think the tariffs are also being used to weaken our NATO allies. On Greenland, there is something strategically and geographically important to the Trump administration for this push to buy or make Greenland part of the United States. Just a couple points I wanted to make.
Thanks, Dale. Your thoughts on Donald Trump's herky-jerky, whiplash, tariffs, no tariffs, 50%, 25% retaliatory, but then not, I'll wait a month. Maybe it'll happen in May, but then not the auto industry because they called me and I like them. You know, this whole very well thought out, intentional, deliberate, exacting, scalpel-like approach to our economic policy.
Well, like I said before, like, Donald Trump mismanaged the economy the first time he was in office. And so for him to propose an even more extreme viewpoint of tariffs and trade policy just shows how unequipped he is for it. And that was an incredibly important point that Dale made about this being a pathway to authoritarianism. And it's not just that, it's everything else. It's the curtailing of speech. It's the prevention of certain media outlets from being able to remain present in the White House press briefing.
They kicked out the AP for crying out loud. It's nuts.
And as I said before, you know, we have to respond by doing every possible thing. And it is because they are doing everything. They're not just keeping us distracted. It's every single lever that they can possibly pull to cause even more chaos for them to be able to consolidate more and more power and authority. That's exactly what's happening. And I've said it before, too, for people who have not been fired, who are frustrated about what's going on. You know, last time he was in office, there was a nice cadre of folks in the federal government who held the line in many ways, doing the work that should be done. If you are there now, understanding that this is completely different and even more chaotic, these are the folks we need. Look, just like we said on Election Day, if you're in the federal government, stay in the federal government.
Please.
Please. We need the right thing. We need as many guardrails in place. And this isn't even political, right?
Human guardrails. Yes.
Well, we're talking about agencies like the FBI, which, you know, typically pretty conservative. And these are folks who are wondering what the hell's going on at this moment. And so it's beyond partisanship right now. This is strictly, I cannot think of, a more time for folks to exercise actual patriotism. And that patriotism needs to stand in the face of nationalism, because they are two very different things.
Yeah, being a patriot isn't being a nationalist, right? Loving America and loving the United States with its complex history is not an endorsement of presidents are kings and presidential immunity and flouting the will of Congress and acting as if we only have one branch of government and everybody else or anyone that disagrees is completely irrelevant and doesn't have a place here. Let's not get it twisted. Those are not equivalents. I also agree, Mandel, with Dale's point that tariff policy coupled with isolationist foreign policy, which turns allies into adversaries, is part and parcel of authoritarians and dictators. Guess what was happening in early 1930s Germany as Hitler rose in power? That was the full-hearted bear hug embrace of isolationism and tariffs as a means of, frankly, shifting the funding obligations for running our government onto the backs of the middle class, while all sorts of what I'm going to call corporate welfare is doled out to the preferred oligarchs within a dictatorship. I could not imagine a situation where a president who is as nakedly transactional as is Donald Trump isn't cutting deals quietly with those industries and corporations that are friendly to him. Does anyone doubt that if the EU attempts to regulate these sorts of media companies and social media companies that have bent the knee to Donald Trump and or Musk's companies, that he will impose even more retaliatory tariffs? This is sort of corruption in the open for all to see. It is deeply troubling. Steve from Madison on the text line has this to say. This is the worst president in my 78 years of walking the earth. I never thought a racist would be running the country during my lifetime. He is destroying the health and welfare of all of us for the pursuit of wealth and greed. We have a new caller. Well, Cal is screening right now. I always like to get the new callers in when we can, Mandela. Encourage this participatory civic dialogue. I'm going to say thank you to Josie from Greenfield. Closing thoughts, Mr. Barnes. And again, I'm going to plug both he and I will be at 1MKE's Your Ballot, Your Future event tonight at MATC's downtown campus. That kicks off at 5 p.m. Check out both Mandela and myself and Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee. Closing thoughts for our listeners, Mr. Lieutenant Governor.
For sure. Yeah, come hang out with us if you're able to tonight. And I just want to, you know, leave people with the fact that we are in a worse position than Russia when it comes to oligarchy, because, you know, Vladimir Putin, all his flaws, in which there are so many, he keeps his oligarchs at bay. They don't get involved in government dealings. Not only have this level of influence, Donald Trump has willingly invited them into the White House to carry out the business of the United States of America, also to prop up their company. This is unheard of, and we need to respond in kind, and you can't treat them like regular homes. If you're in Congress, you stand up like every other board. Understand that you are dealing with a person who has no business in the future of this country.
It is time for all hands on deck. Thank you, Mr. Mandela Barnes. I'll be back in just a couple of moments for some thoughts on getting over the hump and Trump right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.